Although I've just spent the last half year giving talks on Dao Hui, his writings, dialogues, and letters of Illuminus, and one could easily spend double or triple the time that I've done with him. But now I'd like to look at the writings of one of his Dharma heirs, Miao Zung, and two other female teachers, Bao Chu and Zhao Kui, who looked to Miao Zhang through the centuries as their inspiration and as their strength. Unfortunately, till the last 15 years or so, we've not known much about the matriarchs of our lineage. In koan study, we occasionally bump into an unnamed tea seller or nun who is prominent in the storyline, but secondary to the main male protagonists. In the late 1970s and early 80s, a group of Aiken Roshi's female students encouraged him to look through some of the old writings for the women who must have been present. Roshi, with the aid of Thomas Cleary, found and translated material that became known in the Diamond Sangha as the Kahawai Koan. And this is where, for many of us, we met our clear-eyed ancestral mothers for the first time by name. Currently, with some research and digging, we can meet an ever-growing number of these insightful, strong, humorous, and outrageous women. So today I'd like to read you a poem taken from Bieta Grant's Daughters of Emptiness. The poem was written by Miao Zung. She and her Dharma sister, Miao Dao, were Dharma heirs of the great Sung period Zen teacher, Dao Hui. Miao Zung, which translates as miraculous wholeness or miraculous collection, lived for 75 years from 1095 to 1170. It seems she was a precocious child, and as a teenager, she quite naturally wondered, where did this body come from in this life? And after one dies, where will it go? This is a wonderful question, a question that only needs, on this first day of Sesshin, asking. There is no need to conjure a response. Just sit in the question. Just sit in, where does it come from? And where does it go? Where did that thought come from? And now, where did it go? Where this feeling, this sensation, this sound? Bodhidharma said, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I came from. And I don't know where I'm going. Let yourself settle into the question and let yourself settle into not knowing. Not knowing where I came from, not knowing where I go. At some point, the young Miao Zung had a small spiritual opening prompted by her question, which in some way set the direction for the rest of her life. Before telling you more about her life, I'd like to read you one of her poems, which later in this talk I'll comment on. But for now, you can store the poem next to Miao Zung's question. She wrote, suddenly, I have made contact with the tip of the nose. And my cleverness melts like ice and shatters like tiles. What need for Bodhidharma to have come from the West? What a waste for the second ancestor to have paid his respects. To ask any further about what is this and what is that would signal defeat to a regiment of straw bandits. So this first line certainly is a lovely and maybe unexpected response to her teenage question, isn't it? Suddenly, I've made contact with the tip of the nose. As I said earlier, Miao Sung was a precocious child, and as a teenager, she quite naturally turned to a question: where did this come from in this life? And after one dies, where does it go? She had an insight into her question one day while musing on it and felt at peace. However, she didn't think this type of experience was unusual, assuming that humans, the most conscious of creatures, must all feel like this. So she didn't tell anyone of her experience. And incidentally, I don't think this is an uncommon experience. I imagine most of you at 5 years old, or 7 or 10, had this type of opening. But because it isn't valued in our culture, or even in many religions, it was forgotten. And often you even forget that you forgot. However, I think for many, it directs our lives, and it has put you right here on this day of Sesshin. And this, just as it did for Miao Sung, kept her walking continually the path of Dharma. So Miao Sung, as was the custom for someone of her class, was married off to a scholar official, and she took up the expected roles of wife and mother. Yet, I imagine her question and insight continued to turn in her, and she wearied of social custom and began to seek a more active spiritual life. I'm not sure of the specific sequence of events, but at some point her husband died, and rather than follow the customary rituals and roles required of a widow, she began to seek out a spiritual guide. And she sought this spiritual guide, a teacher, not to support him or her financially, which would have been customary, but she looked to someone to sit with, to practice with, and to question with late into the night, if necessary. In one such questioning with the Zen teacher Yun Wu, Da Hui's teacher, Yun Wu said, "Why do you, a young lady of the inner quarters, want to participate in this great and arduous work, in this practice of aching knees and backs? Why in this training?" Miao Sung said, "Has the Buddha Dharma ever made a distinction between man and woman, between monk or nun, monastic or layperson, who are identical in their original form or characteristics?" Yin Wu, noticing that Miao Sung had some insight or native intuition, probed further, saying, "What is the Buddha? This mind is the Buddha. What do you make of that, young lady?" Miao Sung replied, "I've heard of you for a long time, old master, but I am disappointed to find that you still say that kind of thing." The question and responses continued, and finally Yun Wu said, "You've not fully arrived yet." Miao Sung hit the incense stand with her hand. And the teacher said, "As long as there is an incense stand, you may hit it. But what if there is none? What will you do when there is nothing at all? What will you do in the middle of the night, and the moon hasn't risen yet, and the stars have fallen from the sky, and the bridge is broken down? What then?" So what would you say? What would you do? Miao Sung immediately walked from the room. And this response makes sense, I think, but it is much too logical. The teacher called to her, saying, "What principle have you seen that you are thus?" And as an aside, Aiken Roshi commented on this, saying, "Finally, finally, he gets to the point." Miao Zong turned around and said, "Clearly I see there is not a single thing." And the dialogue continued and ended with Yun Wu admiringly saying, "My, you are a real live lion, though still quite a young one." So now I'd like to return to the poem that she wrote some years later. She wrote, "Suddenly, I have made contact with the tip of the nose, and my cleverness melts like ice and shatters like tiles. What need for Bodhidharma to have come from the West? What a waste for the second ancestor to have paid his respects. To ask any further about what is this and what is that would signal defeat to a regiment of straw bandits." So suddenly, I've made contact with the tip of the nose. This first word clearly locates Miao Sung on the Lin Qi side of the lineage chart. Her first word gets right to the point. We practice hour after hour, month after month, and year after year, and our character develops. We become more patient and more enduring. We see, feel, and experience the knotted, tangled vines of our mind again and again. And though in some ways we can do nothing about who we are, or how we are, and what we are, by sitting right in the middle of our lives, supported by a practice, supported by a community of way-seeking practitioners, and supported by a teacher, something very small begins to shift. Gradually, we begin to feel for ourselves. We begin to stand up into ourselves. We stand by ourselves. Although some do begin gradually to feel for themselves, or maybe just feel, sometimes we feel for others before we feel for ourselves. We notice and tear for the limping dog. We notice and tear for the broken winged bird, or for the cat with one mauled eye. Or maybe for the first time, we notice and are touched by our sister's tired face, or by a friend's rigid, skewed back, or by the almost hidden limp of a neighbor. This practice of coming back again and again tenderizes us, and we naturally become softer. Just by coming back again and again to Mu, again to who hears, to breath, again and again coming back with open hands, gradually our hearts begin to tear, they begin to crack, and we begin to open. This is, as I said, the character development side of practice. It is an essential aspect of our zazen, and it is in the cracked and broken places that the light is able to come in and show us what until now has been invisible or ignored. And if this is all that ever happened in your practice, I'd say that you've been quite successful. Yet Zazen offers, and it invites you to take another step, a step off a cliff. On the one hand, Zen is a step-by-step process, slowly evolving, gradually developing. But on the other hand, it is sudden. Your heart melts, the sky breaks, and the voiceless voice of the night hawk obliterates the stars, the moon, and you. The world tumbles and turns, although it never moves. The ancestral teachers, the matriarchs and patriarchs, take your hand and you walk together, the hair of your eyebrows entangled with theirs, seeing with the same eyes and hearing with the same ears. And this is the birthplace of compassion, seeing with the same eyes, hearing with the same ears, chewing with the same teeth, moving as one body. And yet, for as special as I just made it sound, Miao Sung says, suddenly, I've made contact with the tip of the nose. And it is just that simple. And it is just that mundane. Another way to say this might be, we suddenly fall in love again for the very first time. We fall in love with ourselves for all we are and for all we can never be. We fall in love with our troubles, our travails, our loneliness, and our suffering. And we fall in love with each other, even within our disappointments, upsets, and disagreements. And we fall in love with the world for all its terrible beauty and heartbreak, for all its life and death. And we fall in love with the sunrises and sunsets, and for all that happens between. Suddenly, again, for the very first time, suddenly I make contact, and my cleverness melts like ice and shatters like tiles. Each of us can find our own word for cleverness, that attitude, whatever it is, which keeps you from fully contacting yourself and the world. It can be your wit, your neediness, your idiot compassion. It can be your fear, your sleepiness, and that which keeps us frozen and stuck melts. After touching her own nature and natural love, Miao Sung seems almost taken aback by the utter ordinariness of the experience. Suddenly, I've made contact with the tip of my nose. Suddenly, I'm seeing with my very own eyes. Suddenly, I'm chewing with my teeth and hearing with my ears. And it is ordinary because in reality, you've never been apart from it. It is ordinary because you are in the original dwelling place. So Miao Sung says with a smile, what need was there for Bodhidharma to have come from the West? Why the long, arduous, and dangerous trip? And again, with a smile, she says, "And what a waste for the second ancestor, Hui Ke, to have gone out of his way to pay his respects." And incidentally, Hui Ke went out of his way to see Bodhidharma, stood in 3 feet of snow to gain entrance to his cave, and then cut off his arm to show his determination. So I guess you could say he went out of his way. So Miao Zong, with a half smile, is saying, why the big fuss? Why all the coming and going if you've always already arrived? Why, if it is right here before our very eyes? It is right here in the last few drips of last night's mist. That's it. That's all of it. It's in the sigh of the person sitting next to you. It is your wakefulness at 1, and then 2, and then at 3 a.m. It's my voice, it's the whinnying of the horse, and it's your heartbeat. That's all it is. Just that. Here. Now. It's also your sadness and confusion. It is the chaos and darkness that you might feel when you think about climate change and the idiocy of some in Washington, D.C. And it is also the joy, happiness, and delight you take in the unmoving mountain and in the tumbling stars. Of course, we prefer the one state of mind over the other, but they are all states of mind infused with light. This is true even when the night is darkest, because even on those dark nights, the light is present, making the stars and clouds visible. And the light is showing itself and gleaming as you walk, whether with a noisy mind or not. It's gleaming when you're eating, drinking, lying down, or standing. Miao Zong said to ask any more about what is this and what is that would be just as bad as an entire well-equipped and trained army signaling defeat to a regiment of straw bandits. She says in another place, simply be quiet. Pay attention. And her Dharma sister Miao Dao said, your entire body is eyes. Look. Your entire body is ears. Listen. And I say, what else is there? What else?